The State Department has a gap in its workforce. It has too few experienced mid-level career Foreign Service employees. And that's the result of several factors, and it's a serious problem. Michael Quartz is Acting Director for International Affairs and Trade Issues at the Government Accountability Office. He looked at those causes and consequences and what states should do about it.
We looked at two things. We looked at staffing and experience gaps for overseas positions in the Foreign Service, and we also looked at what states are doing to address these gaps. And we found that there are persistent experience gaps in overseas Foreign Service positions. For example, we found that 28% of these positions were either vacant or filled with what state calls upstretch assignments. And that means that the jobs were staffed by people below the grade level that the positions actually called for.
So what's the impact on those overseas missions, either on how the agency is fulfilling its role or in how it's interacting with the public?
Yeah, both the vacancies and the experience gaps that I mentioned affect our diplomatic readiness in a number of ways, and none of them are good. It risks the loss of valuable institutional knowledge. It also risks the loss of some critical foreign contacts that we have overseas. For example, an officer that might have previously served in a position may have made contacts within key foreign industries, for example, and those are lost if that position is not filled with the next rotation. It's also resulted in the loss and delay of, in the delay of negotiations in some cases. For example, in 2009, we found that an agreement with Russia was delayed on military transit to Afghanistan. So, and another important area too is that it results in senior staff being diverted from key tasks by the need to supervise less experienced staff. So it means that the ambassador, the DCM, other top-ranking embassy officials, they're spending less time on interagency coordination and other important strategic policy matters, and instead they're spending that time on supervising junior staff.
And it sounds like with all those junior people all over the place, some real diplomatic snafus could take place.
That's right. Yeah, it really does put our diplomatic readiness at risk.
So, you know, the State Department is aware of its hiring shortages, and it launched Diplomacy 3.0, a hiring initiative, a couple of years ago. Has that been successful in plugging the gaps that you just mentioned?
Not entirely, no. A state did not achieve their goal of increasing the size of the Foreign Service by 25%. They did actually hire a significant number of Foreign Service officers over attrition in the last few years. In fact, in 2009 and 2010, they managed to increase the size of the Foreign Service by 17%. They hired about 1,900 new Foreign Service officers above attrition. Unfortunately, much of that was used to meet critical needs in places like Afghanistan, Iraq, and Pakistan, and some other countries. The hiring effort came to a virtual standstill in 2011. The state managed to add only 38 Foreign Service officers above attrition last year.
Is that because of a budget situation, or are they just sort of some managerial failing?
It is. It's because of the budget situation. And, you know, it's like a lot of other federal agencies, budgetary pressures, not just in this last year but in previous years, prevented state from hiring at the level required to stay ahead of attrition. And after 9/11, of course, state was faced with some fairly dramatic increases in overseas staffing requirements. The new embassies in Iraq and Afghanistan, for example, those sucked up substantial staffing resources. And states had to plus up its staffing, albeit to a lesser extent than in those countries and other places like Pakistan, China, Mexico, and India, to respond to changing geopolitical priorities as well as changing economic and international trade situations.
We're speaking with Mike Quartz, Acting Director for International Affairs and Trade Issues at the GAO. And is that the reason why the State Department needs to hire so many more people, or is it a natural, generational shift that more people are retiring?
Yeah, it's actually both of those things. So a lot of people are retiring. They didn't manage to hire as many people as they needed to keep up with attrition in previous years. And then also, having new embassies in Iraq and Afghanistan, not just new embassies, but huge new embassies that sucked a large number of resources away. All those things together have created this problem.
Is the need for these diplomats in places like Iraq and Afghanistan forcing people for whom it's not their subject matter to go there. For example, people who are Latin American specialists or European specialists, they now have to leave and go to the Middle East?
That's correct. There are people that are being pulled from all different regions of the world to go to these higher priority countries like Afghanistan, Iraq, and Pakistan.
So what is GAO telling the State Department they should do about it? How do they get out of this hole they're in?
Well, first I should just point out that the state itself has taken a number of steps to mitigate at least some of these gaps. They've expanded the use of civil service employees in mid-level positions overseas. They've hired retirees on a limited basis to fill some of the gaps. And they've also began a pilot program that offers workshops to first-time supervisors and includes some mentoring. And that's intended to mitigate the problem of having less experienced people in supervisory positions. But notwithstanding these efforts, we really think that state needs to do a little bit more. Not least, they need to develop an overall integrated strategy that takes these efforts to a new level. And without that strategy, they really can't determine whether or not they're taking full advantage of the human capital flexibilities that they have. They also can't determine whether or not what they're doing is actually working and make some needed course corrections along the way. So we think they need to update their five-year workforce plan to include a systematic strategy for addressing these gaps and a plan to evaluate their success.
Did they think that they would be able to hire sort of mid-career people into that role and it just didn't work out?
No. State hires people generally at the entry level. They may have a few mid-level hires, but most of their staff are relatively junior that they bring in. So they didn't think that the mid-level staffing gap was going to go away immediately. However, they did hope to increase the overall size of the Foreign Service by 25% by next year, actually. And now they're projecting they won't meet that target until 2023.
And if you do need to hire people at the entry level, do they have to be Foreign Service majors, or what kinds of skills in people coming in, presumably young people, would be required to get a job at State?
Actually, State Department hires people with a lot of different backgrounds. Some of them, of course, do have international backgrounds in their education. But, of course, they're also hiring people that are doing things like management tasks, security, filling security functions overseas, consular functions where they're adjudicating passports and visas. They have economists, for example, that report on the economic situations in foreign countries. So they really seek a variety of skill sets, even, people with IT skills and medical skills and so forth. So it's kind of across the board.
Given the fact that the State Department is, in fact, hiring more people, do you think that this donut hole or this vacancy in those mid-level positions is simply a temporary hiccup that's going to be resolved as those new recruits move into more senior positions?
Yes. The problem really should start easing somewhat in 4 to 5 years. As I mentioned, they hired about 1,900 people in 2009 and 2010. It takes about 4 to 5 years for those people to reach the mid-levels of their careers. So the problem should start to ease somewhat in about 2014 and 2015. That's, of course, assuming that there aren't any new major foreign policy crises on the scale of Afghanistan and Iraq again. And on that note, I should also point out that the state's currently developing plans to downsize its presence in Iraq over the next year or so, at least to some degree. I don't think those numbers will be huge, but it should further ease the problem, and we'll see what happens in Afghanistan as the military draws down its presence. If there's something similar that happens with the civilian presence there, that could potentially ease the problem as well.
And so in 5 years' time, then, do you expect there to be a workforce shortage at the more senior levels because there's that mid-level gap now?
Actually, that's entirely possible, yes. In fact, there already is a little bit of a gap at the senior level.
That's Michael Kortz. He's Acting Director for International Affairs and Trade Issues at the Government Accountability Office, and talking there about workforce shortages at the State Department.